of faith is disturbing.
Believe it!
What's going on, geeks? You're listening to episode 378 of Geeks of Grace podcast. My name is Cody Armour. I'm here with LJ Lowry.
Yo.
And Shelly Nolan.
Hello.
This week, we're geeking out about devs going indie. The Superman. The Superman? I guess there's not even a the, really, but I'll go with the Superman.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, is that part of the new title?
And shows we didn't even know were coming out. At least not soon, or have, I don't know. It's confusing. We'll get into it. First, we'll get into games we've been playing. I haven't played anything else besides Power World, so I'll let you guys go in. I think I'm going to download, I can't remember the name of it, but it's about David. I think I'm streaming that tomorrow. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday,
that's that game we were talking about during one of the Bible studies a while back, right?
Yeah. So if you go check the, is it called VODs on Twitch, right? You can probably go back and watch.
Yep.
Me play it at this point.
Yeah.
Also, mentioned Bible studies. We do a Bible study. As of right now, there's enough room for us in our Discord at 6 Central Time. Try to get all these times right. And if that gets too full, we can always start other groups. We use the Bible studies found at geeksandgrace.com/Bible study. You can use this week's study or there are past week studies you can check out as well. LJ, good plug. But yeah, so LJ, what have you been playing?
Yeah, so I've still been playing Helldivers. Part of me, when you did the intro, wanted to be like, for democracy or something like that. And I'm like, oh, I'm not trying to get that political in this podcast here, but it's a joke. It's a joke. I'd say Helldivers, the idea, the Helldivers thing is almost kind of reminds me of like Warhammer, you know, because there's all these like, political terms, you
I
know
can
that?
See that.
Yeah,
like it's a little bit of like it's so on the nose. Like you'll be sitting there like and you can like throw a grenade at something and your guy will be like, how about a nice cup of liberty? And I'm like, yes. It's so good. It's super fun game, still been playing it. Yeah,
the game is called Anointed David Saves Kyla.
Huh.
Ayla. Biblical names I'm terrible with.
Interesting.
Throwing that out there. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Tell us more about. I read a thing that said, are we the bad guys in Helldivers?
So that's funny because there was a TikTok I saw actually, and I love the way that the TikTok community has been like, that's kind of what got everybody into the game, I think. Well, the game had already been out for a week. And then so there's this TikTok where some guy's like, hey, like, what if we're actually the bad guys? And the game is, like, known for friendly fire. And so, like, once this dude started, like, talking all that, the dudes just ran up and, like, shot him. They just ran up and killed him. It is super fun. The idea, though, is, like, I've probably explained this before, but you can see where different areas of the system like are being overrun or close to being liberated, and so you can actually help contribute to those activities, and you get a bunch of like rewards and stuff like that. It's super fun, and actually, I didn't put this in gaming news because I totally kind of like I don't know if it's news or not, but so there's like one guy, and his name is Joel, and Joel's basically the DM for thousands of people, and he flips a few switches and decides what happens. On some of these worlds, and like probably has a number of meters somewhere he slides up and down, or like, you know, stuff you can actually drop into somebody's game, I guess. Helldivers is basically a massive D&D campaign.
That's just it turns
out.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There have been I remember when Left 4 Dead came out and stuff like that, like, there was this, like, horde, like, AI thing that, like, you know, evolves or does different things, like, each mission and stuff like that. So, like, there's some of that tech, too, some of that, like, AI tech that, like, swarm horde AI tech. I guess a good example would be, I was playing with my friends the other night, and at the last minute, we hadn't really found any, like, you know, we hadn't really faced any big automatons. But the last second, my buddy was literally 20 seconds away, and he barely made it. But there was a giant, like, tanky thing with a flamethrower that was, like, trying to kill us on the way out, and like we were like, okay, I'm jumping in, like you better, I'm leaving without you, like, you know, we all left. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those things, like, oh, those enemies didn't show up till towards the end when we were about to extract, you know. So it's really the game that can kind of decide, like, oh, how's this mission going, like, should we throw this at them, you know, kind of a thing. So it's really fascinating, like the technology behind it. Yeah, so the other thing, it's much newer that I decided to check out. There was, like, maybe one or two copies left at Walmart. I saw a copy of Mario vs. Donkey Kong that I was like, ooh, I love Donkey Kong 94. And, like, I really want to play this. This is the closest thing to a remake of that I'll ever get. And so it definitely takes me back to my childhood. The whole, so it's a remake of the Mario vs. Donkey Kong game on GBA. Donkey Kong is stealing all these Mario-like toys. And so as Mario, you have to get him back, basically. And so that's kind of the goal of the game. It's much of a shorter level, like, puzzle platformer style thing. Mario's got his, I'd say he had these abilities even before 64, but you can do the handstand, backflip kind of thing. Like, he's definitely got his all his abilities from, like, the 3D era games. Like, I guess.
Oh, neat, yeah.
You can, like, grab onto these, like, wires and, like, swing around, like, almost like, like, you know, back when they were doing, like, that a lot in, like, PS2 GameCube era, like, mm-hmm. Tomb Raider, Prince of Persia kind of thing. So you can do that. like, there's a lot of... He's got a lot of cool little moves and stuff he can do, but that game has definitely hit a nostalgia. I'm enjoying it a lot. Mario vs. Donkey Kong is fun. So I guess if other people have nostalgia for it, too, I would recommend it. I would say it would be nice if it was, like, $40 instead of $50, but I applaud Nintendo for not charging, like, full price for this game anyway. So I'm like, like, I wonder how much it killed them to, like, not charge that, like, extra, like, 10 or 15 bucks, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I, you know, if they make this a habit where, like, they do, like, some kind of remaster or thing like that, because wasn't Metroid, like, 40 or 50? I think it was 50. The, like, prime remaster?
I think 50.
Yeah, so, like, I kind of, like, I like this trajectory they're going, but I wish it was maybe just 40 instead. But it's a start. I'll give Nintendo props, because it's a start. But yeah, I'm digging Mario vs. Donkey Kong a whole lot.
Thank you.
So, yeah, it's definitely got loads of levels and stuff like that. Super fun. So,
what are you playing, Chelly?
So, play more Reload. I don't really have much more to say there. Except for Mamoru is a best boy. Also don't know. but besides that, I'm a little ashamed to say, I started playing Pokemon Cafe Remix again, and it is because of the Pokemon Direct. I watched it, and it didn't necessarily make me, like, want to play the game.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. But we need to talk about the news if we didn't have a plan.
Yeah, I'll add that.
It's not even because they brought up Pokemon Cafe Remix in the Direct, because I know they did. I guess that maybe reminded me that was a game that I had once played. However, it was the trading card game Pocket app that they advertised that I just really want. I'm, like, really excited about it. And it's not out yet, and who knows when it's going to be out, because they just said 2024. So to get my Pokemon app fixed, I decided to go back to Remix. And they added a bunch of new stuff, and they got this event still going from the Direct, and they got the dailies thing going. I don't know. It's a fun little relaxing little puzzle game. It's really nothing special, but really don't have much more to say about it. It is actually, you know, they come up, the first thing that you see is this disclaimer, like, if you're a minor, make sure that you're asking your parents before buying anything and stuff like that. But man, is it easy to just buy stuff. And again, I know that's just a problem with this game. It's so many other apps, so many other games, especially aimed towards kids. They make it really easy
for I've you definitely given Helldivers stuff. Some money for useless cosmetics.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, it's manipulative. It's purposely manipulative, because then there's, like, this
For sure.
There's, like, these cards where it's like, oh, if you get enough, it almost makes it look like if you play enough, you'll get this cool Pokemon. Like, you'll get Glaceon, you'll get Lapras, you'll get this cool Pokemon, but that's not true. They just show it off if you buy the premium pass. So it's just misleading, and I know they do that on purpose and to make some money, whatever. And, like, obviously I'm an adult, so I can very easily discern you know, what's trying to take my money, what's not, and I obviously know I don't need to buy anything, but it's just, I don't know, it's depressing how that is, right? And I really hope that the extent of purchases made in this pocket game is just to buy more packs. Maybe to buy packs that might have the chance of having a special one, because that's just how it is in real life, right? And that's fine. But, I don't know. That's all I have to say about that. I am excited for Pocket still, but, yeah, I'm a little nervous about the pay to win stuff. We'll see.
We'll get into the gaming news then. LJ, you mentioned lots of layoffs.
Yeah, so real quick, Shelly did remind me, because, like, I'm not, you know, Pokemon's not in my field. You know, that's not my
repertoire.
It's not my repertoire, which seems to be, I think my repertoire is just video games in general. Like, I don't have one thing, you know? So,
yeah.
The thing I did want to highlight, though, at least from the Direct real quick, is the Pokemon Z to A thing, the new game, the
yes,
new Legends
sir.
Game.
Oh, Zah. Give me the Zah.
So,
Pokemon Zah.
I guess it's supposed to take place in, like, a single city?
Lumios. It's supposed to be Lumios. It's Kalos. So it's
okay.
XY era.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Crazy.
XY, yeah.
Oh, XY, like, ZA. Got it.
That was...
I thought they had forgotten all about it.
I think I had it. It was X or Y. I don't remember, but I did play that one. Yeah, so I just think it's an interesting concept, and I think what still remains to be seen, they had a teaser for it. Which was, I guess they said, 2025. Okay, cool. So that means you don't have to pop on out like Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed every year anymore, because they were doing that for a good while.
Yeah, the fact that they're not releasing anything essentially this year is crazy, but I think it's for the best. And
that's
also, might point to coming out on the new Switch. That's what a lot of folks are theorizing about. It's like, oh, maybe they're waiting because they wanted to come out on the new Switch, which I am fine with, actually, because again,
a launch title would be cool.
That'd be crazy. A launch title Pokemon game would be really crazy.
That's gonna get people to buy one, like, real fast.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, I mean, I don't know that there was anything else on the Direct, that was, like, worth mentioning, unless you can think of something, but...
The Pocket game! At least I'm excited about it. It's there actually already is a trading card game app, but it's... From what I've heard, it's not very good, and I'm not familiar with the trading card game all that much.
So are they making, like, a fully online Pokemon trading card game now?
Basically, it's all digital, so it emphasizes the collecting aspect. You get 2 free packs a day, is what they said, and you can open up the packs, and you can trade. So you
can
collect,
actually play?
You can trade, and you can play with friends. You can do like a quick. They describe it as a quick play, and they describe it as a streamlined version of the actual game.
This could be as big as Marvel Snap was.
That's basically what we're thinking, and. So I'm really excited because I've never, you know...
The immersive cards are straight up, like, Snap-inspired to me. Like,
yeah, they have, like, the cool immersive cards. They have, like, actual cards, you know, that mimic
the
physical
cards
that you get.
I love the art so much. I'm looking at this page right now.
But there's
like,
also, like, digital-only cards, and I like the idea of being able to trade with people and being able to play the game with people. And it's, like, I've never actually learned how to play the game. And even if this isn't, like, the entire game, like they said, streamlined, I think it could be a really awesome, easy way to start learning how to play the game, because I'm sure it's easy to just transition from that into playing the full game. And I love that, I don't know, I've kind of missed collecting cards a little bit, but I don't have the money for it. I don't have the time and effort to be fighting against these scalpers and these whales, basically. So the fact that I can get a digital version of it, like, that's honestly good enough for me. No, there's no money in it. Like, you can't just sell that sort of thing. But
a friend of mine has been learning all about scalpers through concert tickets lately. And I'm like,
gosh,
yep,
so
this
bad.
Happens.
So
this happens.
It's like, what I've been thinking with this, my mentality is, no, it's not going to stop the folks who are already... scalping and like buying these cars at crazy rates and trying to sell
them. I think if you're feeling the FOMO though.
But it does give an opportunity for the rest of us to be able to still collect and trade and play in a cheaper, better, easier environments. Because a lot of us do just like the art or the concepts. You know, we are Pokemon fans. We don't want to, like, you know, pay an arm and a leg to get some packs and then people and go crazy over that. So I think it harkens back to the original spirit of the game of there's cool Pokemon on cards. You can play the game. You can trade with friends. And I think that was the original intent. And I think, I don't know, the app just kind of feels like it's trying to go back to that original intent and kind of fight against the scalpers, if at all.
I like that.
It's not going to beat them, but again, it's going to be fun for the rest of us who don't like to engage in that sort of thing. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited. The one thing I noticed is that all of the ones they showed off, all the cards, they're all Kanto. So I wonder if it's going to be a Pokemon Go situation where we're going to start with Kanto specifically, and then they'll add, like, Johto in the future.
Well, that's like, I think, didn't Marvel Snap do something like that, where they had themed seasons?
I've never played Snap, so I don't know. But I imagine it's going to be something like that, where they're just going to, like, kind of,
I actually played Snap again the other day for a hot minute.
Nice. I know people are obsessed with Snap, but basically, like, a lot of my friends who played Snap, who were obsessed with Hearthstone... All of them are like, oh no, like,
Snap, though.
My new time sink. I'm excited, though.
I think it's cool.
A great entry-level way to get into that sort of
I totally forgot about that whole thing.
Exactly,
Nice, that's cool. That's something I am excited about.
Pokemon those were the only two exciting things in the entire direct.
Right, okay. Cool.
So that's all. That's it.
So now we got that out of the way, I guess. That is exciting, though. We're getting into more layoff talk. So first big one, I think, is probably it's kind of weird to say there is some, like, positive news to come out of these discussions. So the company Toys for Bob that remastered the Crash games, remastered the Spyro games. They even tried their own hand at a live service game recently. They even made a Crash 4. Like, they literally, like, brought that game back from the dead. Or brought that character back from the dead. So Toys for Bob, everybody was worried that they were closing when Microsoft had their layoffs. But it turns out they are not. Toys for Bob is going independent.
Wow.
So... And part of this article says that they are exploring partnerships with Xbox... Which I think the best example of this is, I would look at Xbox's partnership with Moon Studios, the Ori devs.
Yep.
So Xbox did release, so those games were on Xbox first. I believe Will of the Wisps were probably, I think that was like PC, like, and Xbox when that came out. But those games also came to Switch, right?
Yes.
So, so they weren't necessarily exclusive. Actually, even Cuphead eventually came to all platforms too. So that's a good example as well. What people are theorizing, and I think has been kind of like something that people have been wanting, is for Toys for Bob to resurrect Banjo-Kazooie.
I would actually get emotional. It would be real tears.
Cody would totally fangirl if Banjo-Kazooie came back.
It's funny because I don't really, like, go back and play those games. I think I just played them so much as a kid that, like, I don't really want to go back to them, but I want more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
And Crash 4 was, like, genuinely really good. Like, you know, and the Spyro remastered games were really good.
Yeah, I'm still kind of... I say playing through them, like, I'm actively doing it. It's on my backlog. I played through the first one, and I think...
I feel like I do that every once in a while. I'll go run around and complete some missions, like, on my Switch or something, you know? Like, or, like, collect, you know, all that stuff. So, I'm kind of there with you. The thing I know our president, Jonathan, is sad about is that... So, they had Crash Team Rumble, which I actually played. I thought was kind of fun. Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, they have something going here. Like, I wanted to see other franchises try to steal that idea. Like, you could totally make that... you could totally make a Sonic game like that or something. But they, obviously, they are ending... they're not... Well, yeah, they're ending future updates. I think they're leaving some ridiculous amount of tiered pass for people to play. They're not taking servers offline. I think they're just doing the thing that I think the Splitgate devs eventually did, which is you could still play it and you could still earn rewards, but just don't expect anything. Like, just, you know, they got the servers alive, though. So, yeah, hopefully Toys for Bob... Toys for Bob has a bright future, especially with Banjo-Kazooie and stuff like that. And I hope that they do find a way to partner with Xbox, because that is, you know, that is a success story amid a lot of layoffs that have been happening. So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I guess a not so successful story here, in the layoff realm, is that EA has laid off 4% of their employees, and Respawn is kind of one of the companies that felt some of this, and it came out that they had a Star Wars FPS that they were going to work on. They never said what it was in development, but they said they're scrapping that, because they said, oh, we're going to focus on what basically what makes us money. Well, of course, that's a big corporation saying that. Basically saying that people love Jedi, you know, people love the Jedi series, people love their original IPs, which in my heart, I want to believe that they're talking about Titanfall. But that's, you know, they're talking about Apex. Like, it's just kind of I mean, Apex is technically in the Titanfall universe, and then I guess they also added like service games into that mix. And then it's just one of the things. I'm like, people love Star Wars. Like, how could you not think a Star Wars game was gonna sell? Make it play like Titanfall. Like, literally, just make that FPS play like Titanfall. Give us another Republic Commando game or something, and you're gonna get people to buy it. Like, straight up. Just look at that Battlefront re-release that's happening in a couple weeks. It's like, oh yeah, they're selling that thing for $30. You know people are going to buy it if it's Star Wars. So, that kind of sucks. But yeah, I mean, I guess that means we're getting more Jedi eventually. Yeah, so kind of a weird way to end on the gaming news. But yeah, hopefully some good things will come out of this layoff news. With Toys for Bob and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
From there, we will get into the movie news then. Or not movie news, the movies that we've been watching, which I think I'm the only one that watched a movie.
I was going to say, I don't think
probably,
I
haven't watched one.
Yeah, I watched Dune Part 2.
Nice!
Technically, it's Dune Part 2. And it's really good, guys.
I almost went to see it until I found out it was going to cost me $20 to go to the theater with Uber and then $20 to get back.
Oh, wow. it is spicy, pun intended. No.
That was good.
I really liked the first one. We rewatched it recently, and apparently during quiet movies, I sigh a lot.
The first one hooked me. Like, I think I bought the day that came out, I bought it on like 4K and I watched the entire thing, and it was like,
oh wow,
it's really good. So my wife was like, I sighed a lot. My wife was like, are you bored, do you not like slow movies, quiet movie? Not slow, she wouldn't say it's slow. I'm like, it's a slow movie. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad movie because it's a slow movie, but I think that the first Dune is very slow, intentionally. And you get these really pretty shots out of it, and there's these really quiet moments, and I think it's slow, but I think it's good. My wife disagrees. She says, there's so much happening, and you're missing it all with your size. But the second one, I think the pace is picked up a lot more. There's a lot more going on. There's a few times where it kind of feels not rushed, but a little jarring in the way that it skips steps. But this is coming from someone who's never read the books and never watched the original movies or anything like that. I really love this world, and we were talking before the podcast about how much it doesn't tell you everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool that you have to like kind of figure everything out yourself in a lot of ways. And they kind of just, you still really don't know the world. So for those who don't know, and this might be a spoiler for the series, but I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think it's like straight up in the books. But they live in a world where AI is forbidden. And I don't think that's ever mentioned in the movies. Like, you just watch these movies with, like, that knowledge that hopefully you comprehend. They just kind of expect you to figure that out somehow.
We need to, like, start living in that world. Like,
yeah, must be no like AI. Them. Yes, I agree.
Doesn't it end up being... I don't know the ending of that story, but I think it's a tragedy.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a tragedy. From what I've heard. But anyway, stop manipulating AI is the message of what I was trying to say.
So true. I just feel like the Media literacy war is a term I've heard people talk about, and how a lot of these, especially not really original products, and when I say not original, I just mean like adaptions. Like, obviously, Dune came from a book series. We have Avatar that came from a show. We have Percy Jackson that came from a book series. Just a lot of things like that that are adaptions. It seems like there's two different approaches. There's either the cater to the new audience who probably have never seen the first thing and kind of assume they don't know anything. Just assume they know nothing and explain everything because your audience is too stupid to get it.
Explain everything.
Or, yeah, or on the other hand, you'd be kind of like what Dune's doing, which is like, don't treat the audience like they're stupid. It just give a story as it is, and maybe there's something that you look up later or ask about later. I don't know. That can, for me, that sort of feeds the desire and the conversation, right? Kind of like, if you don't tell everything, then it's like there's something to be said about like theorizing and being like, oh, this makes sense. Oh my gosh, I didn't even notice it on the first view, and now I get it on a second view, like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy how, I don't know. A lot of times I think, oh, you know, cinema's dead, or, oh, these darn streaming shows, they just keep treating their audience like they're stupid. They keep doing all these overexposition. Rings of Power, actually, we'll be talking a little bit about that later, is a similar thing, right? Where it's like the writing, people just don't like the writing, but they keep doing it. They do it in Percy Jackson. They do it in, like, Avatar, yeah, Last Airbender. They just keep doing all these things where it's like overexplaining, but it's also like not very good writing, and it's just like a darn shame. They just take something that was so good and then they just kind of make it worse. It's not necessarily bad, because in my personal opinion, I haven't watched the new Avatar show, and honestly, I probably won't, because I personally feel like it's a waste of time for me. But I liked the Percy Jackson show. Heck, I even like Rings of Power, but you still can't really compare it to the original products, because the original products just did it so much better, and they didn't have to do all this weird explaining and stuff, like treat their audience like they're stupid. I don't know. It's a really weird phenomenon, because it's very obvious that people don't really always know what's going on. It's something I see in video games a lot, where the stuff that gets the stupidest but also most extreme example I can think of is Five Nights at Freddy's. Those games do not tell you stuff. You have to figure it out for yourself, and that's one of the reasons why, like, MatPat and the Game Theorist got so huge, is because people wanted to continue the conversation about what's going on and, like, piece together everything.
I actually found that interesting about the movie. It was because I'm like, they kind of had to tell a story in the movie, you know? Like,
yeah.
Even though it wasn't, like, an amazing thing, you know? Like, but I was like, huh.
True, but it, you know what I mean, though? It's like, it's how stupid do you think the audience is, and do you realize that the less you show, a lot of times, the more benefit you get out of it, because then people want to, like, rewatch it, and, like, and sometimes if you don't do enough, then obviously then no one knows what the heck's going on, and it's, like, not interesting.
It's kind of like the idea of not seeing, like, a horror monster movie, like, until the end. Like, you don't get to see the shark until the end of Jaws. You don't get to see the Predator until the end of the movie, you know, like, things like that. Like,
it's all about show, don't tell.
Yeah,
that's all
it is.
It's such a simple premise and such a simple idea, but I think a lot of shows and movies just don't put the effort into that. They're just like, well, let's just explain it away. Whereas then you have, like, again, movies like Dune and other movies where it's like, well, we don't need to explain everything. Some things are just going to be maybe something that those who consume that original content are going to understand. Or maybe it's just something they're going to have to, like, pick up and learn about. This is how the world works. This is how these people work. And you're just seeing that, right? So, I don't know.
Yeah, you brought up a point of, like, we're not, they treat us like we're stupid. And, like, they shouldn't treat us like we're dumb. Like, we're not dumb. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that I've met some people who may fit the bill for that.
Oh, no.
For sure.
Yeah, I work in customer service, so I definitely...
Okay.
I definitely know why.
I do think that there is a sense, like, I think it's really easy for us who, you know, we do a podcast every week about media to, like, forget that, like, there's an audience that maybe doesn't consume it the way that we do. But to your point, the thing that you had said just a second ago was, like, it causes people to look things up. We live in the world where the internet exists. And so even if someone does watch something that they're not bright enough to fully understand, they know how to Google something and, like, learn that. And so I think, like, to your point, you know, maybe show, don't tell as much, because like if someone doesn't get something, they can just go look it up, and everyone is very versed on how to do that these days. People know how to go check things out.
Or even just, like, talk to your friends and neighbors about it. Like,
yeah,
be like, hey, what did you think of this movie? I thought this was really interesting. Here's my takeaway. Oh, that's crazy. I had a different takeaway. Because I don't always like the idea that, like, going to the internet is always the best thing to do. However, it is a really good way for people to connect. And people can connect over theorizing stuff like that. Again, same thing happens in video games. People get together because they're trying to figure out what the heck something is, like, what's going on. And when there's no conversation to be had, if everyone just gets it right away, if everything is rather explained to us away, then all of a sudden there's nothing to talk about that's not interesting, and you just know everything, and then you all have the same takeaway because the show or movie likely told you what the takeaway should be, and it doesn't give you your own takeaway to have from that media, which is really depressing because we all should, you know, art versus the artist, artist interpretation versus usually the art, like what we take away from it. All that kind of relates. That's my spiel. I'm done.
Also, a little bit more on the actual movie. It is not a feel-good movie, so be prepared for that.
Oh, man.
Oh, definitely.
It makes sense.
Yeah. It is about a prophet or false prophet. I don't know enough from the books to know what's going on for sure. But basically creating like a religious jihad. LJ, you're muted.
It's definitely like Shakespearean. Like it's, you know, it's like you're it's supposed to be a strategy or tragedy.
Yeah. It feels, this movie specifically is very much tragic.
Like the end of the end of part one necessarily isn't supposed to be a good thing, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that's where like that's where the downfall is gonna start right there for sure.
Kind of. Yeah, you don't feel great at the end of this movie of like, yeah, go whatever his name is. I'm so bad with names.
Paul Atreides.
Yeah. Atreides. Paul. But no. I'll say too, this movie had a little bit more humor than the last one, and I really appreciated that. Gotta have a little humor in my movies.
Nice.
It's good. It'll make you laugh, and it still takes itself very seriously. It does a thing where somebody is taking themselves so seriously that it's funny, and I love that. I think more movies should kind of do that. I think Batman would have been perfect for that kind of thing. DC, I've harped on that before, but just like, yeah, if you're gonna put him in this Justice League setting, make him so serious that it's ridiculous, and it'd be great. I think that they did that really good with Hulk in like the first Avengers movie that came out, and they've kind of lost that over the years, but he was just so ridiculously scary that it was like it was funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Watch Dune 2. I don't think the director says you don't need to watch Dune 1 to watch Dune 2, which is probably
I've seen part 1, and that's a dang lie.
Well,
I feel like
that's
a lie already.
The director says you don't need to watch Dune 1 to watch Dune 2, and I can kind of see that. Like,
I still feel like I should watch Dune 1.
Yes, I would suggest like, that Dune 1's a great movie.
I'm like, don't call that a part 1 or part 2 if you're not gonna, like...
Yeah.
You just want people to see your new movie. Come on.
It was hilarious. So, again, with the books, my wife was like, yeah, there's gonna be a 5-year time jump before this movie starts. And it starts immediately. Or the last movie.
Dude, well, that's how they set up the end of the first movie. They're like, okay, you need to go watch part 2 when it drops. You know, like...
So yeah, it's like, it was so funny. Just the way that the books go and show in her mind, she was like, yeah, there's going
to
be this time
jump. That's why it's
that
funny,
yeah,
to me. Sure. It's like, how can you say that when you literally ended the first movie? Like, oh, come on, watch part 2 now.
Like a second act?
Yeah. That's funny.
I did appreciate that about this movie. None of these movies end very well, but it didn't feel like... I felt like I got a full movie in this one. I did feel when I watched Dune 1 that I got two acts and didn't get a third.
Part 1 definitely ended kind of like... I guess kind of like Across the Spider-Verse, kind of.
Yeah. I needed a third. I need another.
Well,
yeah.
Hear me out. The idea that whenever the last Dune comes out, because this is going to be a three-parter, right?
Yeah.
Imagine a director's cut with all three movies, extended edition. Now imagine Not mention this. It's a worse movie by Snyder, Zack Snyder. Yeah. It's Rebel Moon.
Go on.
There's going to be a Snyder cut of Rebel Moon. I am going into the news. That is my segue.
What's happening?
Shelly's like, I'm just like jacking this whole like conversation.
That was awesome.
I'm still.
All I'm saying is, I think there's, I don't know. Rebel Moon, Zack Snyder is really passionate about it, right? So he wants to do this like director's cut thing, which of course we know Zack Snyder, he loves his director's cut. And apparently people like his cuts, even though I don't know if that's really true, if people just want it because they had all this faith in him. I don't really get it. However, he's going to be trying to do that with Rebel Moon, with Part 1 and 2, together, add a couple hours. It's going to be 6 hours. Kind of long. It almost makes you think you should just have two movies that are extended. Kind of like Lord of the Rings literally made each half of each movie the length of one movie, and so it makes it way easier to just like get through. Like, does
I would
it really
prefer
need to be
that,
6 hours? I don't know.
But if it is like Justice League Snyder cut, the movie will be so different that you
can't.
That's
fair.
Really do that.
Maybe.
Like, the whole. I don't know if he's going to do that or not. You would think with his own movie and his own filming that the movie wouldn't be vastly different. But I'm kind of frustrated because if I would have known that was coming out, then I wouldn't have watched Part 1. I would have just waited for the 6 hour thing and watched that all at once because I don't want to watch both. Like, I already spent hours watching the first cut. I don't want to watch another cut.
Well, I just think it's hilarious. I don't know why. It's just the audacity of it is incredible.
I like you, Snyder, but not that much.
Yeah, it's, and you know, obviously I'm someone who likes the extended versions of Lord of the Rings, but it is, in my opinion, much better for someone who has never watched Lord of the Rings to watch the original theatrical cuts the first time around. Extended is really nice for those who are already fans of Lord of the Rings. But I know so many people who their first experience with Lord of the Rings is with the extended editions. And that's just so unnecessary. They throw in all this unnecessary stuff in there that's really, like, great for fans and all this stuff. But it's really not good for a first-time viewer. And I'm worried that
you know what you should never do? Have someone who's never seen The Watchmen watch the director's cut of The Watchmen.
That also sounds like an awful idea. I think this is all connected here. I just think with so you say, oh, I kind of regret not watching the original, or I kind of regret watching the original knowing this is going to come. But like the fact this is probably is going to be so different that it's still probably better to watch the original cuts than to watch the extended. Like, it's probably still in your benefit to have known kind of the stuff already, and then the extra stuff will be, like, kind of nice. But I just think the audacity of it's kind of, it kind of goes crazy. Not gonna lie, I just feel like he gets away with this for some reason. I don't understand why. I don't think it's deserved if I'm gonna be so bold, but, you know, if they're gonna let him do this, that's fine. I heard the first movie wasn't very good. You said it's better than Star Wars, so...
Yeah, it's better than most Star Wars, I'll say. Andor definitely has it beat. I would say Rogue One probably has it beat.
Yeah. Okay,
I will say, I'll say this. It is better than the last three sequel movies.
Then that's, there you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Very fair. I just, so, yeah.
Not
it's,
terrible.
It's just funny. I don't know. Does everything need an extended? Does everything need a supercut? I'm not sure. 6 hours, that's pretty intense. That's three movies, basically, so... I just think that's interesting. It's not necessarily good or bad. I just think it's funny. So I thought I'd mention it. A lot of news is this week is really just about like Dune 2 and everyone's loving Dune 2. Also how bad Megamind 2 is, which like is so sad because I'm a huge Megamind fan. And I heard that they were making not only another movie, but a show. And the trailers look so bad and it's not even the original voice actors. So what's the point? It's worse animation. It's probably not even that funny. I mean, maybe I'm proven wrong, but I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes this week, and that's, to be granted, this is this week, so this might even be different by the time the recording comes out. But listen, it was at 9%. 9% for the fans. That is, even for Rotten Tomatoes standards, very low. So, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be watching it, which is, again, it's a big old shame, but... I guess people are watching Dune 2 instead, which is an objectively better movie in every way, a better sequel.
Oh, it's so good. It's gorgeous, too. The cinematography.
Yeah.
That's something that I feel like... So that's everyone's all about that with Snyder is his cinematography. You go back to Snyder and like these shots, they, and that's all he does.
Yeah, there are not a lot of. That's what got him known for like with 300, was his shots. Yeah.
There's not a lot of directors that are doing just like cinematography like in movies, and so then you have Dune, which has got this great story, this great writing, and the cinematography.
Yeah, dude, you kind of have to have it all. Again, I always compare things to Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings has it all. It has a good writing. It has a great cinematography. It has everything you could ever want. So if Dune has that, heck yeah. Megamind does not. And I don't know, maybe Rebel Moon has one of those things. And maybe that's good enough for a lot of people. And that's great. That's awesome. Besides that, I'm going to take a little bit of a hard turn into Superman stuff. So,
Snyder Superman.
I almost said Zack Snyder. I almost did. It's James Gunn.
Snyder's the reason people hate Superman, though, I think.
Isn't that depressing? So, yeah. So, James Gunn, he has done some announcements for the new Superman movie. This entire time, we've been referring to it as Superman Legacy. That was the initial working title. Now it's just Superman, but in all caps. So, you kind of have to say it like that. You say Superman. You kind of have to raise your voice, because that's how it's spelled. And there's, I think, a new official logo. And this was just all for Superman's official canon birthday. It was kind of one of those things where they're like, oh, happy birthday. Also, here's some stuff. So, I guess that's exciting. I don't know. It's hard for me to care. I do like Superman.
Yeah.
I do. Like, I'm not, like, a Superman hater or anything. Or at least not since that show. That show has done so much for my perception of Superman.
I think the thing that this movie will do is it'll kind of get people back to like, oh, here's what does make Superman interesting. Yeah. They are doing his logo is based on the logo from Kingdom Come, which is like a really big DC storyline. Also, so that has
old Superman. That has young Superman.
Yes, so it has major implications there, which is exciting. But I'm excited. Like, just the more I've gotten away from the Zack Snyder version of Superman. I'm like, oh, we've really been missing out on a lot, especially like My Adventures of Superman. That's kind of the thing that did it for me too. Totally. Also, Superman and Lois, that show, like there's just so much more. I'm like, everybody go watch these other things or go read this other stuff because like this is where it's at. And so like I'm kind of excited like that hopefully
it's just fundamental. Like
yeah.
If it fails, then DC officially dies.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding. If it succeeds, then it's rebooting a whole another like era of DC movies and you know, this fresh thing.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't do well,
this is like before we saw it coming, and unfortunately it is already different because we're kind of seeing this coming. It seems like the Iron Man of this new DC universe.
Yes.
And so if it flops,
yeah,
you do not have a good foundation for what the future. Yeah. And if it does well, then you have a good foundation. It just seems very like the way Iron Man was foundational to the MCU. And again, at the time we didn't even really know it, but I think it's gotta be similar. Like here's this really pinnacle character that is gonna be huge for Justice League and other stuff, right? Like you gotta nail it. So
if we don't care about this movie, then we're not gonna care about anything. Any more of what,
because we don't care about Aquaman. That's for darn sure. We don't care about.
Yeah.
I'm interested in this Supergirl thing that they might be trying to do, but that's again like, if they don't do good with Superman, how are they gonna do with Supergirl? I don't know. So it's.
I will
you're
say
right.
the
there's a lot
casting for
on.
Lex, Nicholas Holt, I think is his name is. Very excited for him to be Lex Luthor. He's an amazing actor. He was in The Great, which I don't recommend for everybody.
The cast looks real good.
But I've seen him really act. Yeah, he's good.
And the girl that plays Lois, I think she literally won some awards, or at least was nominated for Miss Maisel. So like, I know she's got some chops too. So like, it is exciting. Like there is stuff to look forward to. But I'm afraid that WB is gonna try and stick their hand in the cookie jar. because yeah. I feel like this has happened. Like, I see when that happens, like, in their video games especially. And I'm just like, I know we've seen it in their movies too. So I'm just hoping that that is done.
I saw a comment on social media somewhere that said DC, or Warner Brothers don't like, Warner Bros. Doesn't like making money. And I was like, that is so accurate.
They think they do, but then they really
yeah. It's weird.
I don't understand some of the choices they make.
I don't get it. But anyway, hopefully that's good, right? We always hope it's good, yeah. But we don't always expect it. But that's our movie news.
We will get into TV then. Delicious in Dungeon. It's rated MA for nudity. I haven't seen any yet. I'm like 7 episodes in.
That's a dub for me personally. I need you to keep updating me. That's
the update that I'm trying to give everyone. I'm like, so far, you can watch 8 episodes in and you will be happy. I want shows that are good that don't have a bunch of nudity in them. It drives me nuts that they just throw that in everywhere. I think just, I don't know. In the United States, it's just such a pandemic. But
totally.
It is, that show is amazing. I literally had to pause it the other day while watching it because I couldn't move on because I was laughing so hard that I couldn't pay attention anymore. And I don't know if I've ever done that. I'd be like, pause, I'd be like, hold on. I need to stop and listen. So good what just happened. It's a stupid show about going into a dungeon without enough money for food. So they are eating the monsters they find in the dungeon. And all of the monsters will make you want to eat like real food. You'll be hungry instantly because it's anime. And but for whatever reason, anime can make food look so
good.
They
do draw their food pretty dang good, even if it is monsters. Like, it does look good.
Yeah. I won't give anything away. It's a good show. I highly recommend it. I will say the closest I got to nudity, if you're like, you know, having little kids watch this, is there is a siren, and the siren is like covered by her hair, and that's it. So I think for like teenagers and stuff, you're probably safe to watch this so far. But I could be wrong. It is rated MA, so be careful.
There's gonna be something crazy coming up. Maybe just a total. I would be
so sad, and that's such an anime thing to do. Like, most United States shows will just have it everywhere all the time, and it's annoying. The anime will definitely be like completely okay to watch for like 10 episodes, and then
so true,
completely flip itself on its head. I think of it. It didn't have to do with nudity, but spoilers for Fate.
Oh yeah,
is like this really fun anime. For like the first half of the season, and then mid-season
it goes off the rails. Everything
goes wrong. Yeah.
Really goes off the rails. Yeah, I remember that.
Really,
even Fate anime. Zero, I remember Fate Zero already starts pretty mature, so you kind of set the tone and you're like, okay. But I remember Fate Stay Night was like, yeah, it's like, well, this is kind of fun, and then it gets like really gnarly and you're like, was not expecting that. I was like very surprised watching that. I was like, I don't know if I like this.
Yeah, it shocks you, but it waits a good, you know, 12-14 episodes to to shock you.
Yeah, it's not cool.
So that said, Delicious Dungeon so far safe.
Nice, that's good. I'm very interested. I just haven't watched it yet, so.
Yeah, definitely a Shelley anime.
Yeah,
I think that you will love it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's on my on my list. Did you watch anything else?
That was it for me.
Okay.
What have you watched?
I was going to talk about more Shelley anime. So, my husband and I really like, well, we love Fire Emblem, okay? And so we like Fire Emblem anime, which obviously there's no Fire Emblem anime. Technically, I think there is one from like the 90s or something, but I'm not counting that, okay? That was like a one-off. When I talk about Fire Emblem anime, I think like the sort of more higher fantasy, even if it's like not super high magic, sometimes it's really low magic, but it's like there's kingdom, it's all fictional, and there's like cool mythological, like there's lore, and there's like a kingdom, and there's like nobles, and there's fighting, and there's war. So we really like the heroic legend of Arslan, which is, the anime is never continuing ever. which is so sad, but the manga is continuing, so I read the manga. So now I find myself in a similar situation where I'm watching this anime called Yona of the Dawn, which I had never heard of. We were just scrolling through Netflix, Crunchyroll, and we're like, oh, this looks pretty interesting. And it's really similar to Arsland because it's about a noble who, due to certain circumstances, ends up basically having to be on the run as like a prince or princess and having to collect an army or collect people, supporters, which is very Fire Emblem, right? Usually you play as a noble and you're like have to be away from your kingdom for some reason, or maybe you're not royalty yet or whatever, and you have to like get supporters. So it's very similar in that way. But similar to Arslan, it is an ongoing manga, but this anime came out 10 years ago now, as far as I'm aware. So I don't think there's ever going to be a season 2, which is a real bummer. Thankfully, season 1's pretty long, just like Arslan was. It's like 22 episodes or something. So we're like halfway through. And I really like it so far. It is, yeah, really similar to Arslan, except this is going to sound really dumb. But it's, there's a lot of hot dudes. And I know it sounds stupid, but the whole thing is like, Arslan, there's really no romance at all. It's like not really a thing. That's totally fine. It's totally good even. But this is like that, but there's like some romance elements, which is pretty cool. The main characters, they have this really fun dynamic that I like a lot where she's like oblivious, very much sees him as like a brother figure kind of thing, but it's like, you know, very deeply cares about him. Obviously, she just doesn't really see it as like romantic. She kind of has feelings for this other guy. And he keeps like flirting with her kind of, but it's always like very playful. It's always like not meant to be serious, but you kind of get to the point where he's like, oh, he's like probably actually serious sometimes, but she just does not care. She's super oblivious. And they like do this thing where it actually reminds me a lot, for those who have played Sacred Stones, Fire Emblem Sacred Stones, there's one of the original premises of the entire show is sort of like revolves around three characters, where one's the princess, and that's Yona, so she's like the namesake of the show, she's the main character, and then her two best friends, and how they kind of grew up as, you know, childhood friends, and then now that they're like kind of adults, or technically they're not even adults, I think they're teenagers, but they're like older teenagers, and things that just happen, and they have to like think back to their childhood. It's just like really wholesome, and the fact that they all feel like they're actually genuine friends, like there's things that happen where you're just like, oh yeah, that makes sense, like this dynamic that they have. It's not like the show just, again, it's not just the show just telling you, oh, they're friends. It's like they do things that you're just like, oh yeah, that's something friends would definitely do, like they mess around with each other like that, they insult each other all the time, like that's totally normal. And also the villain's like super interesting. I don't want to spoil anything because I actually really like this show and I think people should watch it, or read the manga rather, if you don't want to watch an unfinished anime. I respect that. I didn't really know until we started watching that's unfinished, but it's fine.
So many unfinished anime out there.
It's really, really sad actually, but mm-hmm. This villain is super interesting. I like him a lot. And again, like the lore and stuff behind everything is really good, and I think it's just kind of becoming a little bit funny how right now it's becoming what looks to be kind of like a reverse harem anime a little bit. There's like all these hot guys, but I think if anything it just like, it's not the emphasis of the show. It's a very wholesome show. It's funny. There just also is this like sort of hint of romance maybe, but it's definitely not like the most important thing in the show. The most important thing in the show is Yona and how she kind of goes from being this helpless princess who was just spoiled her whole life kind of to having to learn how to struggle and learn how to survive. And she gets a lot of awesome character development. And if anything, it makes my husband and I, we were talking, made us want a Fire Emblem game that explicitly has a female main protagonist as the protagonist, because every Fire Emblem game, if there is a female protagonist, it's either the avatar, so I don't count avatars, right? It's either an avatar or they're like a duo protagonist with someone else. There's Erica, but then there's also I forgot his name. Sacred Stones. Everyone's gonna be really disappointed in me. Her brother, right? So they're like the two main characters, and then you have Celica, but then you have Alm. So they're kind of not really the main characters. So it would be really cool if there was just, like, a regular female protagonist as, like, the main protagonist of Fire Emblem. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but it made me want that, because that's kind of what this feels like, which is really neat. So, I don't know. I like it. I talked a lot about it, but I just know that whenever we're done, I'm just going to read the manga. And unlike Arslan, which has, like, 18 or 19, I think 20 volumes soon, this one has, like, 40. So, there's a lot more content here for me. Which I guess is a good thing. Anyway, Yona of the Dawn. It's pretty neat.
Cool. It sounds fun.
Yeah.
Nice.
LJ, what have you been watching?
Yeah, so I've gotten back into anime a little bit myself. I added Crunchyroll as a...
Look at us, weebs.
So you can get Crunchyroll as a Prime add-on now. And so I was like, oh, well, I can actually use... I was like, I kind of would rather use the Prime app rather than Crunchyroll's app, to be honest. And so I was like, you know what? Instead of just having this random bill that I'm like, oh, I forgot about that, I'm just going to roll it all into one, and it's always going to be there, you know, when I want to watch some anime.
Yeah.
So I was checking out Solo Leveling, which is...
I've heard it's good.
So, like, I've heard a lot about the manga over the years, and I was like, oh, let me check this out. I think it's like, it just started. I think they're only, like, 6 episodes in. It's kind of interesting. It's almost like, again, where it's like that video game style concept, but it's not like a video game. There are these gates that have opened into these, like, dungeons and, like, these with these monsters and stuff. And the whole idea is everybody becomes hunters and you kill things and are able to use that resource to, like, buy better weapons and stuff like that. Straight up, like, video game, like, style thing. But they're also in the modern world, and hunters are, like, different ranks, and they're like, ooh, S ranks, whatever, right? Those are the real, like, awesome ones, you know, stuff like that. Those are the real popular ones. You know, almost kind of like a One Punch Man kind of, like, you know, hero rank or something.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. I haven't watched a ton of it yet. I just know it stars, like, the main guy is this, again, super weak, like, guy who's, like, barely hanging on. So for whatever reason, the dude has not, like, died, but everybody else around him has, kind of a thing. In the past, so... it's definitely bloody, definitely, like, kind of dark in that way. But yeah, I'm learning about it, and it's kind of interesting, like, there's these governments and corporations that are like, oh, well, we can use these resources for, like, clean energy and stuff like that, so there's, like, a little, like, political aspect to it, too. I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting. So, I'm gonna watch more of it. I think I'm only into, like, the second episode, but... It was, like, impromptu, like, oh, I want to check this out. So, like, I haven't, like, I'm enjoying this so far.
Nice.
Cool. The other thing that I'm a little about, probably the same length into, actually, I started Shogun. The first two episodes premiered on Tuesday, so, like, by the time this comes out, there will be another episode out. This is on Hulu and FX. And I'd basically, it's feudal Japan, like, Vikings, like, you know? Like, that's basically what it is. It's like FX is, like... Oh, hey, y'all know Vikings? Like, we're going to do ours, but it's going to be a samurai.
I heard it's good.
But it's interesting because it's weird because, like, I got on this little pirate kick. So they almost introduce you to the world through, like, these outsiders because they explain that, like, I guess, like, in the pirate days, Portugal, like, kind of kept, like, Japan was hidden. Like, I don't know how accurate this is, but I know it's based on a novel. But, like, Japan was kind of hidden from all this stuff, and so they were still, like, I guess that's when feudal Japan was, like, taking place, was, like, but I don't know for sure, you know?
Okay.
So, I'm gonna have to check the historical accuracy on that. But it's interesting, because there are these, you know, pirate guys that end up, like, washing up ashore in Japan, and so you're kind of introduced to the world through that a little bit. But clearly this is a separate plot line from the things that are actually happening in, like, feudal Osaka. And so I find it interesting that the reason I guess I'm making a bigger comparison to Vikings now too, because, like, faith and Catholicism and, like, a form of Christianity was, like, a big part of Vikings. And this is as well. Like, I did not expect this out of this. I'm thinking, like, okay, cool, I just want to watch something with samurai and, you know, like, people getting killed, you know, or whatever, you know, like, with katanas. I mean, I don't know, like, I'm like, okay. Like, I'm like, I kind of see where you're going with this. And, like, I looked it up because I wanted to know. And it turns out, I guess, one of the first priests to bring, like, Christianity or Catholicism, they use the terms very, like, lightly, you know? So I don't really know if there's just, like, oh, a cross. Hey, they're a Christian. Or they're with this, whatever, right? But the first priest, I think, came into to Japan in the 1500s. And so you find out, like, oh, there is kind of a faith presence in Japan at this time. It's kind of weird, kind of strange. So I'm kind of...
You should watch. It's a long movie, but is it persecuted? Persecution?
Silence?
Silence.
I think it's Silence. Okay. I was literally just thinking Silence.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like...
It's Andrew Garfield. It's about...
Catholic priests coming to be missionaries in, I believe, feudal Japan.
Mm-hmm. Oh! And it's... You know, he got on a real, like, faith kind of, like, kick for a while, huh? Because he... Hacksaw Ridge, and then, like, he did something else that was, like, oriented in that way, too. Like, that's kind of cool. Anyway.
It's a really good movie, but man, it's rated M. Rated R. It's very radar. It's really good, but it's depressing. It's hard to watch. It's great, but it's hard to watch, for sure.
So yeah, like, I'm interested to see what they do with that. And I'm like, okay, I had no idea, like, that was even going to be a factor in this.
Yeah. But I'm
also, like, you definitely see that there are still these traditions that, like, people seem to be, like, struggling with, that, like, these, you know, these traditions that have been in Japan for, all, like, so much time.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, they have to be done because that's the way life is. So it's like, I want to know, like, what faith has a part to play. Like, how impactful is that going to be to, like, what goes on in this story? Because it's like, I just find it interesting. Here we go with Hollywood again, pointing back to what we call, like, the greatest story ever told, and using that as, like, hopefully a huge part in what happens. So
yeah,
I'm totally just curious to see how, like, to what extent they go with it. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch more. It is really good so far.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it. I haven't had a chance to yet, but I plan to soon, for sure.
I'll
get through the TV news really quick here. First one being, this could have been movie news. I don't think so, but I'm not sure. Matthew Lillard is returning to a Scooby-Doo project of some kind.
Yes, sir.
I don't think it'll be a live-action thing, but who knows? We were talking about it, and it's so likely. They just make
it's a multiversal thing,
Scooby-Doo thing.
They're gonna make a multiverse Scooby animated movie that's gonna go straight to, like, on demand or streaming or something.
And maybe then
they're gonna have him do, like, another voice of Shaggy, probably, or they'll
do. Doesn't he voice Shaggy in, like, other cartoons and stuff anymore?
He actually did. He took on the role, I think, after the movie when they did, like, What's New Scooby-Doo. I think he took on the role for a good while. They could do the I guess is this technically spoilers now? They could do the, like, Donald Glover thing, like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh
man, just a Space Jam. With Scooby Doo.
Oh.
No, I mean, there's a lot of different variations of Scooby Doo now. So
yeah, there is.
There's so many. They could do, like, a
Into the Scoobyverse.
Pretty crazy.
And they're all very different.
I'd Into watch that. I think Scooby Doo is silly enough, and there are legitimately enough variations at this point that it would be really entertaining to see something like that. I don't like the universe thing in most of the time, but I think, similar to Spider-Man, at this point there's enough variations that it's so totally silly that work. I think it would work. I really do think it would.
They're gonna start the movie out with the original Scooby Gang, like 1970s.
70s. Yeah. Uh-huh.
They could do a TMNT kind of thing, like.
And they go and they are trying to find the monster, and they find out that the monster is another mystery gang.
Oh my gosh!
They need to do the TMNT thing where they get
and they're like, wait, why are you the monster?
That,
like,
that would totally work.
We're trying to catch another monster, and it's just a whole
dude, it could totally work. I think I can imagine the, like, original cartoon Scrappy Doo interacting with, like, the evil messed up live action Scrappy Doo, and then just talking, like, the original Scrappy Doo is, like, annoying, and then even the new Scrappy Doo is like, man, like, I wouldn't have liked myself either. Like,
he was mouthy.
Oh man, it could be really good.
And then, like, the kid
and then they all have to gang together
when
to
they're
find
like
the
when they're kids,
mystery.
When they're, like, little, And then when they're
old, yes, Pup Named Scooby Doo.
Totally.
One of my favorites. Oh yes, I love Pup Named Scooby Doo.
Yeah.
Pup Named Scooby Doo is so good. That could be a good show. Or movie. I could watch that.
Yep. I'm down. I'm interested. Sign me
up. They all have to band together. They're like, we need more Velmas. And then they find the Velma from
imagine
the
imagine a room
show,
full of Velmas. Mind, oh my god. Never mind.
A room full of Velmas would be nuts.
Yeah.
They all drop their glasses and all of them are like trying to find the glasses they end up putting on each
that
other's
has to
glasses.
Be a bit.
The
that
bit
has to be
writes
a bit.
Itself.
Oh
it
my
writes
gosh.
Itself.
Yes. I still quote, it's a Johnny Bravo Scooby Doo crossover.
It was a commercial, right?
No, it was in a show.
It was an episode.
Sure.
You're right.
I think it's an episode, and they both drop their glasses, Velma and Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
And so Velma goes, I can't see without my glasses. And Johnny goes, oh no, my glasses. I can't be seen without my glasses.
Yeah.
I love that.
And so anytime I can't find my glasses, I go, oh no, my glasses. I can't be seen without my glasses.
So true.
So we'll see what it is. We just know that he's going to be a part of whatever project it is.
Hmm.
It could be a show, could be a movie, who knows. And then we have House of the Dragon Season 2 is confirmed for a June release. And I had to, like, double-take that. That is June this year. So in, like, 3 months?
It was pretty soon.
Yeah. I haven't seen any trailers. I don't think there are any trailers. So for it to be releasing, so
the
almost makes me nervous.
The Dragon's
House
is going to be a beach house.
Yeah. Usually when there aren't any ads for something that's coming out and they just kind of like release it out of the table, it makes me think it's probably not good. So a little nervous for the show. What are they doing to my Game of Thrones? Maybe they'll do like they did in the final season and just completely burn it to the ground for no reason.
Maybe everybody heard what they were gonna like title that other spinoff and they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know anymore.
Duncan what?
Not to get back on that bit again, but
yeah.
But to get back
Duncan
on.
Duncan Egg.
Yep.
and then another thing that I didn't realize, so Amazon has begun work on Rings of Power Season 3. Season 2 has not released yet.
That's when I saw that in the news, like when I was doing my own stuff, I scrolled down and I'm like, wait, we didn't get Season 2.
Yeah, season 2 of Rings of Power comes out sometime.
Sometime?
This year?
Season 2, I'm looking it up right now. But, yeah, I guess they're doubling down. They have a lot of faith in season 2. Hopefully they'll right some of their mistakes, because there were some mistakes. It's going to air 2023. 42.
Huh?
Or, no, 2023. 2024.
Okay.
I was going to say, what?
No, 2023 writer strike.
Oh, 12 hours ago, Rings of Power gets exciting release update. Prime Video show set for 2024.
Okay. So it's happened, I guess. I don't know. Season 1 was okay, but it had... All of these streaming shows seem to have tonal issues.
No kidding.
And I definitely...
Avatar definitely does, by the way. Like, I got further into that show, and I'm like, yeah, it definitely does.
It doesn't know what it wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a rated MA Kiyoshi and known its tone.
That was last week.
Know your place as a Kiyoshi yeah. M-rated show. R-rated show, whatever.
It's too late. Anyways. And then, yeah, that's the news that Amazon Prime is working on a season 3 before season 2 is out, which is gutsy. Bold move. And we'll end the podcast there. I'm making sure you guys geeking out about anything else this week.
Nope.
We're good.
Alright. Cool. Shelly, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at TheShellShock24.
And LJ?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram under LJ the Paladin.
And you can find me on Instagram at CodyArmor. Keep gaming. Keep praying. And God bless.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Geeks Under Grace podcast. We love hearing from you, so feel free to ask us questions or just comment on the show by using the hashtag GUGCast on Twitter or by joining the GUGCast questions channel in the Geeks Under Grace Discord. If you like this episode, consider leaving a review or rating of our show on your favorite podcast app. If you want even more Geeks Under Grace, you can always go to geeksundergrace.com. We love you all so much, so thank you for listening.
It's on!